Yeah. Exciting day. Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Here it goes. The end of the parak. So we just talked about how Yaakov is no longer called Yaakov, but nonetheless, it's not that we don't use the name Yaakov anymore, it's just that Yisrael is his main name. So he says here, that's also the connection to the Jewish people when it comes to Shibud Golios, that when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, it'll be talked about, but it won't be the main thing anymore. That'll be reserved. Our main praise to Hashem will be over the redemption that He brings us to for the Gula HaShlishis when we come to Eretz Yisrael for the third time. V'chein hu omer al tiskru yishonos kadmos al tisbonenu al tiskru yishonos yishibud malchus. That when it says you're not going to need to talk about the beginnings, the first things. So that's the original Shibud Malchus, whatever that's referring to. Kadmonios al tisbonenu zuyitzias Mitzrayim. Those are the things we're not going to talk about. You don't have to talk about it anymore. And then the pasuk also says hinenu also chadashos. Yeshayahu says, "Hinenu oseh chadasha atah titzmach." Now it is flowering. We don't have to talk about the beginnings anymore. Tanya of Yosef, "Zum elchemes Gog u'Magog." That this is referring to the war of Gog and Magog. What's referring to the war of Gog and Magog? I assume "Hinenu oseh chadasha." That I'm going to do new things. Basra al tiskru yishonos kedivya. Gog and Magog will create the redemption the second, the most recent time. One, he was walking on the way and he found a wolf. Every person he would meet, he said, "You know what just happened to me? I just saw a wolf and it's happened and I got away, fine." And then all of a sudden, he keeps walking on the same path, didn't learn his lesson. And Pagabo Ari, he finds a lion. And he was saved. He stopped talking like a lion, and he had the poisonous snake come against him, and then he didn't talk about the other ones anymore either. Kafi Yisrael, Tzaras Achronos Meshachos Hasarishonos. With each, every persecution that we have, we keep talking about the most recent one. And how Hashem saved us from that one. So too, in the Gula Asida, when Hashem takes us out of whatever we're in, so we're going to stop talking about the other ones as much, and we're going to start talking about the most recent one. Speaking of Yaakov's name, so Avram, who Avraham? That this is actually a pasuk. The pasuk in Divrei Yavim says that the person Avram is the same person Avraham. Anyone who reads the Chumash and Bereishis would know that. So B'tchila Na'ase Av La'aram. At the beginning, the reason he was called Avram is because he was the father of Aram Naharayim, a place. I don't know what it means. He was the father. I don't know. Maybe it means the father of religiosity there. I'm not sure. But then Rashi says, "La'anchi midina sosha mi eretz Aram hayan shenamar be'ever nara Yeshua v'seifu mi amar el Aram Naharayim el yirah far." Doesn't really tell us. But then it says he became nasa av l'chol ha'olam kulo. Then he became the father of the entire world. As Hashem says himself, Av Hamon Goyim. And therefore, he adds the letter Hey there to tell him that he was, I don't know if it's some kind of mnemonic or something, Abraham. But either way. Sarai, he, Sarah. And Sarai is the same as Sarah. Batzchila Nasa Sarai L'umata. That before she was the, I don't know, princess to her nation, Uvasov Nasis Sara Lakola Olam Kulo, and then she became the princess of the entire world. This doesn't really explain the difference in the lettering. I'm sure there are some achronim that explain it, but either way, they had a changed identity when they changed their responsibilities. Avram became the father of the entire world, Torah became the mother of the entire world, and therefore, to note the difference or the shift, they added different letters to their names. Okay, Hashem added different letters to their names. So Tana bar Kapara called Kori la Avram Avram over Baasai. Anyone who calls Avraham Avram is in violation of a positive commandment. Shema Bahel Shimcha Avraham. Your name is now Avraham. That's what Hashem says. Rabbi Eliezer Omer over Balav. You violate a negative commandment. Shema Vloi Kare Od Es Shimcha Avram. And your name shall no longer be called Avram. The language is important here. Because then the Gemara is going to say, "El me'ata ha'kari la'sara sarai ha'chanami." Is there some kind of prohibition to call Sarah Sarai? So it should be, because the same as Avraham says, "No, Hasam kut shabrichu amar la'Avraham." Sarai ishtachalit lo tikra es shema Sarai, ki Sarai shema. Hashem says to Abraham, al lo tikra. What does it mean, lo tikra? You, individually, should not call Sarah Sarai. You shouldn't call Sarah Sarai anymore. Rather, you should call her Sarah. But that doesn't say anything about us. That just says that Avram shouldn't. So that's why there's a difference between Abraham and Sarah.
So it's not the letter added, it's the way it was denoted.
The commandment itself, yeah. There's another possibility, but either way. Elameate hakorili Yaakov, Yaakov hachanami. So Yaakov also, his name was changed. No, Shani Hasam Dahadar Ahadre Kra. Then Hashem calls him Yaakov again. Dechsev Yomer Elokim Yisrael B'maros HaLayla. Yomer Yaakov, Yaakov. He was one of the... There are a few people that have the double calling out to Yaakov. Yaakov is one of them. And we will see from there that Hashem calls him Yaakov even though Hashem changed his name to Yisrael already. So Meisiv Reb Yosef Bar Avin Vitim Reb Yosef Bar Zveda Atu Hashem Elokim Asher Bechartu B'Avram. Wait a second, we say this every morning in Vayivarech Levin or Vecharosim Avris. Right, we say the word Avram. So isn't that a problem? Didn't you just say we're in violation of either an Asay or even a Lot Asay for saying such a thing? So Amar Lehasam Navi Hu Dekamasad L'Shvachei Derachmana Mai Dehavi Meikara. That's only referring to Hashem in the fact that he was in the order of things that the Torah is talking about. In terms of praising the original Nevi'im, so that's why the Pasuk is just talking about what had happened. He used to be Avram, now he's Abraham. So that's what it's like, just giving you a history. It's not talking about literally what Abraham's enduring name is, and therefore, because you're giving a history, it's allowed to be said, and you don't have to worry about this as if you were just saying colloquially Avram, that would be a problem. But here it's talking about the history of things, how they unfolded, and therefore it's okay. Hadr Nalach Me'emasai. We have now finished Mazel Tov to everyone here. Mazel Tov still is listening. We have finished the first parak. And now we start the second parak. Hayakori Matarviki is Mana Mikra. Im Kivin Libo Yatsa. Let's say you were reading in the Torah. We'll see in the Gemara what exactly that means. You were just reading the Torah. Maybe you were learning.
The checker. One of the examples is a person who's a Torah checker.
Okay, that's what the Gemara is going to ultimately say. But if you read the Gemara, if you just read the Mishnah Stam, so you would think he's learning from the Torah. So he's learning from the Torah, v'yigiz mana mikra, and then the time for saying Kriya Shema came. Im kivein libo yatsa. If he had intention that while he was reading it for whatever purposes he was reading it for, he also had intention for the fact that he was... Is there a minyan going on?
No, they finished.
Are they finished? Okay. How'd they already finish?
Yeah, you sure they're not? Sure.
No, they're going to be there.
They can't be done.
Okay, so then Kivin Libo, once he has intention, so then he's Yotze, he gets to double dip whatever he's doing, and also he is Yotze Kriya Shema. V'prakim sholem mibnei kavod u'meshiv emtsa u'meshiv. That when it comes to in between the paragraphs, we'll see exactly what that means. One is allowed to ask, or ask how somebody's doing, or to greet somebody, if they are a person of honor. Umeshiv, and you're allowed to also respond. If they say, how are you doing? You're allowed to say, good. This says, between the paragraphs. We'll explain what that means. Uve'emtza shol mishnayira. And if you're in the middle of a paragraph, you're mamish in the middle of a pasuk, you're allowed to actually respond. It says this, says the Tanakhama. Uve'emtza shol mishnayira. Umeshiv, and you're even allowed to greet for someone who is, you're fearful of, a king or someone of extreme authority. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion, that in between you can talk to in any way you want. There's no differentiation between greeting and responding to someone who is a person of honor that you have to respect. But in the middle, so you even have the ability to greet and to respond to someone you fear. What does that mean, someone you fear? Rashi says, Mipnei Yir Adam Shehu Yara Mipanav Shalo Yahargehu. This is a fascinating Rashi here, that you have to respond to someone because you're afraid they're going to kill you. So what's the obvious question? If someone's going to kill you, you can do whatever you want. I could stop saying Kriya Shema altogether. I could leave the building. I could take my tefillin out. I could do whatever I want. If someone's going to kill me, so everything is Dolcha B'Kuach Nefesh. Everything for the sake of B'Kuach Nefesh, you can violate whatever you want, except for the big three. So unless you're going to tell me that that interrupting in the middle of Shema is one of the big three, which is going to be a tough sell, so then so what is Rashi talking about? So presumably what Rashi means here is simply that it's a person that could potentially have the power to kill you, not necessarily someone that's literally, you know, has a gun to your head. That's not what Rashi said.
Any person could potentially have...
Yeah, but someone in those days that had the authority to just... And people would listen to them. Meaning, like, okay, I'm not just saying that someone could, anyone could pull a gun. But someone could, without repercussion and without consequence, has the authority and the power to just say, can someone kill this guy? And then you'd be dead.
Yeah, but it says over here it's referring to your parents who, you know...
I've never heard that one.
Let's go with yours.
Then it refers to a parent...
The article brings down that might be referring to
one is obligated to fear or be in awe of.
That is a pretty far-reaching definition. Okay.
Because awe so means something very different from fear to me.
You're not afraid of your. You're not afraid of Henry.
I am afraid.
Yeah, the question is whether I'm in awe.
Okay. Okay. No. So yira here means more fear than it is awe. Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's more of a physical fear, or a consequential fear. Yeah. Okay. So either way, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer be'emsa shom ibnei yira umeshu ibnei kavod. In the middle, you can. This is what Rabbi Yehuda says. In the middle of the pesuk, mamish in the middle, you can interrupt for someone you're afraid of. And you can, I think I might be translating wrong. Umeshiv mipnei hakavod. There it means you can only respond to the people that you give respect to. Ubeprakim, and in the middle of the paragraph, shol mipnei hakavod. You can even greet somebody who you have to respect. Umeshiv shalom l'chol adam. And you can respond with a hello to all other people. So that's, you see, Rabbi Yehuda is like a rung down. He's a little bit lower in terms, or a little more lenient in terms of what you can do. No, he's more, presumably he's more lenient because he allows you to say hi to anybody, not just to someone you have to honor or fear. Eluhein bein habrakim. So what is this bein habrakim? What does in between the paragraphs mean? Bein brach reshana l'shnia. In between the first bracha of Yotzer Or, before you've said Avar Abba, Bein Shnia L'Shema, between Avar Abba and Shema, Bein Shema L'Vahayim Shema, between Shema and Vahayim Shema, Bein Vahayim Shema L'Vayomer, Bein Vayomer L'Emes V'Yatziv. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bein Vayomer L'Emes V'Yatziv, Lo Yafsik, you can't make any interruption. I wonder if you would say, even if Nei Yir, you wouldn't be allowed to. Either way, Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach, Lama Kadma Parshas Shema Levahaya. Why is Shema before Vahayim Shema? Because Kdei Sheikaba Olav Omachlus Shemaim Tchila. So that you Mekaba Omachlus Shemaim, that you take upon yourself the yoke of listening to Hashem. V'yachar Kach Mekaba Olav Ol Mitzvos. And then you take upon yourself that the extension of that is going to be doing the Mitzvos. So Vahayim Shema Levayomer Shabbat. And why is Vahayim Shema before Vayomer? Because Vayomer is in Shalach, that should be the first. Vahayim Shema Noeg Bein Vayom Hei Malayla. Because Vahayim Shema, which mentions a lot of different mitzvahs, those are relevant for the day and the nighttime. Vayomer Einu Noeg El Biyom Bavad. But Vayomer, which predominantly refers to putting on your tzitzis, so tzitzis you only do during the day, and therefore the least applicable concept is going to be said last. It is interesting. I heard a very interesting ha'ara from Rabbi Rosner, I forgot who he quoted, but he said that from here, some Achronim point out that it's clear that it's not only the first paragraph which is Doraisa. If one were to say that the first paragraph is Min HaTorah, is biblical, and it's only and everything else is rabbinic, so then it might be a much easier answer. Why is Shema before Vahaya? Because it's Doraisa. What do you mean? It's the most important paragraph. Elamai, it must be that at least Vahaya is also Midiraisa. Otherwise it would have answered that answer. That's why they say here, O Machl Shemayim before O Mitzvos.
They're all Midiraisa. The question is whether they're...
Well, they're obligated to say the Midiraisa. Yeah, they all come from the Torah, obviously. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Shema Mina Mitzvot Tzirchas Kavana. This is a little bit of a foreboding of what's to come. In terms of this machlokas is very far-reaching in terms of whether or not mitzvah is tzrichos kavana. It's not clear how we paskin, but always good to have kavanah. Either way, so my im kivein li, but what does it mean when the Mishnah says that your yotze, as long as you had kavanah in your heart, likros, im kivein li, likros, v'hakakari. So what does it mean? You have intention to read? What do you mean? You're reading. You're clearly having intention to read. Hakakari says Rashi, Habakari ka asik, Tanava asi tekatani hayakari va Torah. Meaning he's, what? I don't know which direction that's saying. Is that saying that he's too busy reading, he can't have kavanah? Or are you saying you're reading?
Well, I think it's because the next word, the Gemara's answer, which was what you and Michael were talking about earlier, that he was he's a checker, he's correct.
Right, now that I'm saying, what was the question? I'm not really sure what they were worried about.
He was checking it. His purpose of reading it wasn't for the
same means case. He must intend to recite the Shema. The Mishnah's case is where he is reciting the Shema. Like what?
It's really thing. Focusing on the word likros.
Yeah.
If his kavana is to read, what do you mean if his kavana is to read? It's not talking about kavana like inside. It's just talking about kavana to read. So obviously his intention is reading. He's reading. Because that's his intention. He's reading. He wanted to read, so he's reading. So he said, no, it's not really a situation where he's really reading to read. It's where he's talking just the word by word. He's looking to make sure that it doesn't have any mistake. V'kori l'hakia, in order to make correction.
Tan Rabbanan. That's a rare case. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty rare for the Mishnah to talk about.
That's
yeah.
not something anybody would do every day. It's a bad.
Yeah.
But it still has to be the right place at the right time.
But I think it's also...
All the more so.
It's more representative of a time where you're saying Shema, but you're not really reading it. For maybe you're learning it in school, or maybe doing Shteimikra or something like that. I don't know. Where maybe you wouldn't think that
I mean, just superficially, it seems to be as long as he has at least some very basic awareness of what he's doing and why. It's not a high.
Right. In Kivein Likros just means that you have intention to read it and you're not just randomly reading words like half-mindedly, yeah. Okay. So Tanu Rabbanu Da'avos and that's how they became rabbis. Kriya Shema Kechsava. You have to read Kriya Shema like it's written. Jevrei Rabbi. What does it mean? Kechsava. B'lashon HaKodesh, says Rashi. You have to learn it in Hebrew. You have to say it in Hebrew to be Yotze. You can be Yotze, your Kriya Shema, your Chiyuv of Kriya Shema, by reading it in any language. So my time with the Rebbe, why does Rebbe say it has to dafka be in Hebrew? Kra v'hayu. It says v'hayu ha'dvarim ha'ilem. V'hav yasan yuhu. That it should be said the way that it is. That's how it's written. V'hayu ha'dvarim ha'ilem. V'rabbanu my time, I own Rabbanu, why do you say that you don't need to read it in Hebrew, the way that it's written? Amar kar shema, v'chol lashon shata shemaya. Any time, any language that you typically hear, so that's the language that you can use for Shema too. Well, Rebbe, nami haksiv shema. What do you say about the word Shema? Very interesting halacha here. Ahomi v'ayleil hashmei la'aznecha. That when you say Shema, you have to say it loud enough that you can hear it yourself. Masha ta motzi mipicha. You should be able to hear what you hear, what coming out of your mouth. I remember when I was a kid, I went to like a youth group at our shul, or at least the shul that I went to, and there was one kid that used to daven without moving his lips, and the advisor or counselor or whatever would always say to him, "You have to say the words." He said, "What do you mean? I am saying the words. I'm reading just like I read a book. I read with my eyes. Why can't I read like I read with my eyes?" So the counselor didn't know this Gemara at this point. He said, no, you just can't do that. But the truth is from this, that in order to be Yotze Kriya Shema, you have to hear yourself say the words. You can't just say it in your head or even whisper it. You're supposed to say it, Lechad Chila.
That first pasuk or the entire thing?
That's an interesting question. How far do you have to say it? I don't know.
Because I hear a lot of people saying the first pasuk out loud.
Right, then, that could be something else also. But
for them more focused then.
Yeah, at least the first paragraph, I would think.
But there's another Tanya that mentions when you're doing these things, you're by speaking it, you're doing an action. If you just read it, you haven't used all you use is your brain. You haven't
right.
You're definitely
more impactful when you say it.
Your actions in your heart, right? And all that.
There are some schools that read the whole thing out loud.
You mean Farber?
No, I know Orca Dash does.
Oh, yeah?
Like they, yeah, they're
interesting. They might be based on this. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so here the
Gemara. That was something that Rabbi Eliezer Cohen instituted at Yad Yisrael was many, many years
ago. Oh, okay.
I don't know why he.
Interesting.
He instituted it. I talked to him.
Oh, we got to run. Okay, so the Matrasha Tamasimi Picha, Rabbanim Sarvi Luhu, Command Armalo Hishmiel Azna Yotza. The Rabbanim say, no, if you don't hear it, so that's okay, then you're Yotze Vidyavet at least. The Rabbanim Nami, Haksi Vahayu. So what are the rabbis? Why don't you understand the word Vahayu like Rabbi Yehuda says it? Like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says it, Vahayu, that means that you should say it in Hebrew. Hahumi Vahayu Shalai Kari Lamafreya. That they have to be in the way that they are, meaning you can't say it out of order. Rabbi Lo Shalai Kari Lamafreya Minale. How does Rabbi say? How does Rabbi know that you can't read it out of order? Because they use the pasuk. Because he uses the pasuk to teach you that you have to say it in Hebrew. Nafkalemi Devarim Ha Devarim. That the pasuk says not just Devarim but Ha Devarim. These words specifically the way that the words are written. Rabbanu Devarim Devarim Ha Lo Darshi Behu Lo Darshi Lo Darshi. They don't have any specific way to say those to learn that hey. L'meimer Tesavu Rabbi Dechol Tar Kula V'Chol Lashon Namra. Does that mean to say that Rabbi thinks the rest of the Torah can be read in any language? But if you're going to say that the rest of the Torah is supposed to be said in Hebrew, why would I need this Torah to specify that Shema has to be said specifically in Hebrew? Shema, because the pasuk also says Shema, and as the Rabbanan say, Shema could be interpreted to say that you could do it in any language. Comes to Rebbe and says, no, specifically Shema, you have to say it in Hebrew. But every other part in the Torah where it doesn't say Shema, so you also already know naturally that you say it in Hebrew, not in another language. Similarly, Lameimer Desavri Rabbanan the Chol Torah Kula Vlashan Hakodesh Nemar. Does that mean to say that the rest of the Torah has to be said in Hebrew according to the rabbis, and specifically Shema can be said in English? No, Shema, because Rechem Ralamli, it's Rech Meshim Dechsiv V'Hayu. See, they flip the tables and they say no, because there are people like Rebbe who think that V'Hayu means you have to say it specifically in Hebrew. That's why we feel the need. That's why the Torah felt the need to say, that Hashem felt the need to say Shema, that it can be said in any language so that you don't get mixed up and think you can do otherwise. Okay, Shkayach, we'll have to make up the next two lines in the second half.